You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Ryan's here. Ryan's always here.
These days, yeah.
Well, thank God.
Thank God.
I mean, I can't talk to myself anymore, dude. Any longer.
Any longer.
Any longer. You know, and I've talked about my dog, but I definitely had a little bit of a breakdown today. Because, you know, my friends are always like, you're such a good dog, Dad. And look, he gives him such great treatment. And I'm like, I'm not a great fucking dog, Dad. Sometimes I feel like I'm just not. Because the dogs that, you know, Irv is really old now. Dogs of his age live till 10 to 12. He's really 13. He almost died 5 months ago. He was going to 5 doctors a week. I have PTSD. I'm carrying this 80-pound dog up the stairs to poop outside 8 to 10 times a day, hoping if he'll shit, I will at least... Thank God he took a shit. Maybe now it won't be all over the house or him. And I obviously relate to him because I'm like, poor son of a gun, man. I love this guy. But at the same time, I'm like, well, he's, you know, he doesn't walk real well. Jess, my former assistant, who also still helps me out, she had a breakdown. We both had a cry the other day. Herb couldn't even walk. And then the next day he's kind of walking better. And it's just this constant, I'm just living in anxiety with him. And so he's suffering, obviously, way more than I am. I don't think he realizes he's suffering. That's what they say about dogs, maybe. Because he's not in any pain, I believe. Mm-hmm. If he was in pain, I'd shut it off. Mm-hmm. If you're in pain, buddy, and I can't fix it, you're not going to live in pain. You're gone. I'm not going to be that cruel. But there gets to a point where I had a breakdown this morning where I'm just like, what the fuck? I don't know. I mean, give him 10 pills a day, twice a day, and just, you know, and it's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot for the owner. It's a lot for the dog. And the dog, I feel terrible about little Irvy. And, you know, but I look at myself. If I go, if one day I just can't walk, it's different for a human. Mm-hmm. I could tell you what I want. I can't walk. Carry me to the kitchen and feed me. You know, it's a little different. But if it gets to a point where that's just the apathy kicks in, where I'm not getting up to go eat, I'm not taking my pills, then I have to start thinking, because I'm already starting to think about it. I'm like, he's not in any pain, but does that mean because he's not in pain, he should just lie there all day and not exercise and not be able to do things? How much could I do? So there comes a point where my stutter there, where I just have to make a decision, and I don't like it. I don't like decisions in general. Mm-hmm. Any advice on all this, Ryan? I know I'm throwing a lot at you. In fact, yesterday we were doing a podcast and you said to me, you okay? And I said, why? I don't know. You know, you just seem a little off today. And I was off, man. What'd you notice about me?
Your eyes were not open fully. And,
yeah.
Well, you usually wear hats, but you were wearing a hat, and so your hair was kind of a mess. But you hadn't slept, and you've been dealing with whatever.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had to put down a dog before?
No, I haven't. And but I know that I would have put down my grandfather years before he passed.
Yeah.
I know if they were giving me that choice. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a brilliant mind, and he didn't know where he was, who he was. You know, the incontinence starts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, this guy is a fucking brilliant, awesome dude. I love him. He's like my best friend in the world. I said, Tom, to my best friend, Tom Lally, I said, Lally, I will fucking come and haunt you and everybody you know if you don't fucking put me down. If you don't find a way to euthanize me, I will fucking terrorize you in your dreams.
Freddy Krueger style.
Tina, this is God. All right. I mean, yeah, I haven't. Have you put down a dog?
I haven't been there when it's happened, but I've had to deal with losing dogs, a few dogs already in my life. And it's tough. I mean, yeah, because usually my mom was the one who's taking care of him. She'd take him on long walks, and it was rough for her the first. Every time it's rough.
Yeah.
And every dog is different because every dog, you know, brings something new to the table. Mm-hmm. And they give you nothing but good times, even when they're being pains in the ass. But yeah, they are a positive force all the time. And then, you know,
it's true. That is true. It is a positive thing. I there's nothing that I love more than to lie on his bed. I got him these two giant orthopedic beds for him to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And then just lie there and take a nap with him and pet him. And but he seems a little miserable. He just seems like sometimes he's kind of like tries to play. But most of the time he's just like, this kind of sucks, man.
I did have to take my girlfriend's cat to he was having a really rough time. He was not walking. He was not, you know,
eating.
Ooh. And she held on as long as she could. And she really did not want to take him in. And there was a point where it was too hard. It was crushing her. It was crushing me. It was crushing the cat just you to have be to do alive. It. So we took it. It was just one morning. We were up all night with the cat, and it was inevitable. And we took it. I drove it to the animal hospital, and it died in our arms in the car.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You got a little emotional just saying that right there.
It's one of those things that I try not to think about.
Well, sense memory, you know, it's like you think. So, well, how great is that? In a way, how fucked up is that? But like, then have to go euthanize him, but the cat just dies in your arms.
Yep, he just went on the way to the hospital when we knew we had to take him.
Oh, I kept thinking you should have put on that song in the car.
Which
just
one?
To make you guys. I would do something like that to make myself laugh, just to try. I just died in your arms tonight. Anyway, I hope everybody had a pleasant weekend. Sorry for burdening you with all of this, but I think, you know, this is what we talk about on this show. And I think you could either fast forward to the guest or you could listen and have some insight into what's happening in our lives. The band Sunspin, I want you to know we're doing a pretty cool giveaway with the release of our new album, which is called Best Days. The band is Sunspin. The album's Best Days. If you want to support the band and win some sweet, sweet swag, head over to Sunspin Band on Instagram. Just type in Sunspin Band on Instagram. And this is only going to last for the next couple of weeks. So make sure you check it out today. We have a post that explains everything. So head over to Sunspin Band on Instagram. And if you want to book the band or buy merch, go to sunspin.com. And Sunspin Band on Instagram will tell you everything you can to win some sweet swag. Also, Sunspin, we got a show coming up. On Stage It, you go to stageit.com, type in Sunspin. We've got two shows, February 27th, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we're going to be playing covers, jams, you win prizes, Zooms. People win Zoom calls. We Zoom after the shows. It's great. Please grab a ticket. Join us February 27th, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sunspin. You could also go to sunspin.com and find out all the information you need. And thanks for listening to Insidey, the podcast. If those of you who are listening for the first time, if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe on YouTube and on Apple Podcasts or whatever, wherever you listen. Ryan?
At Inside of You Pod on the Twitters. At Inside of You Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
That's true. And also the Inside of You online store for awesome merch. Like, look at this. I haven't even put this out yet. Or maybe it's out now. It's an Inside of You beanie.
Ooh.
Yep. And we got Inside of You shirts with my face on it coming. We got I saw some kid wearing a shirt that said, Michael Rosenbaum is the best Lex Luthor ever. Fight me. And I go, I'm making that. That's awesome. Actually, a lot of people were asking to make one. So I said, sure. So those have been flying off the shelves. But if you want to listen to Inside of You or follow us, it really helps. Write a review on Apple Podcasts. You do not know how much. If you really enjoy today, write a review. And that goes a long way. It bumps us up in the rankings and all that and spread the word to your friends. And what's the handles for Inside of You?
I did that already.
You did?
I did.
I'm out of my mind. So
you could also go to youtube.com/InsideOfYou with Michael Rosenbaum and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
That is true. We've got a great guest today. It was nice to catch up with her. She opened up a lot more. I think she's definitely a private person. Sometimes it takes a little. I really respect that. I'm the opposite of private. I kind of just, you know, I fart and I just tell you how I feel. But Katie's really amazing. And I had a lot of fun with her. I had a lot of fun on her with this. And we told some stories. And I think you're going to really enjoy this one. I think you're going to really like Katie Cassidy. If you don't know who she is, have a listen. And if you are excited, just tell me to shut the fuck up. Let's get inside of Katie Cassidy.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
You look sharp. You look sharp.
I don't feel sharp, but it's good to know that I look sharp. Also, you're welcome. Finally, here's your FaceTime. Why do you always like to FaceTime?
Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go, folks. She's interviewing me. This is what happens.
I don't understand. Literally, okay, I'm always like, decline. I don't want to be on camera.
I got a complex. There's somebody in your shitter, I think. Is that your sister? Hey, Mrs. Was your sister taking a poop? What was she doing there?
By the way,
it was. You might as well have walked. Tell her she might as well have just walked out instead of trying to duck when there's nothing to duck behind. If you guys watch the video, she creeps out of the bathroom.
Oh
probably
my God, that's hilarious. She leaves. Don't worry.
No. It's great. It's great.
Bye, Olivia.
Bye, Olivia. That's a nice name. Olivia. Is it Olivia Cassidy?
It's not Olivia Cassidy, although Olivia Cassidy is not a bad name.
Olivia Cassidy in.
Uh-huh. Maybe I'll consider that.
Let me get back to your question. When I FaceTime you, all right, I FaceTime everybody. That's just my MO. I don't FaceTime. I'm like, listen, I like to see the person I'm talking to. I could leave them there. I could laugh. I could go do things. On the phone, I can't connect because I have ADD. So for some reason, FaceTime's a little bit better for me. Does that make any sense?
It does. I understand if you were somebody who, I'm not actually, this might sound weird, but I'm not actually the most social person.
Yeah, I know. I know that.
So sometimes I just don't really want to talk to people. Sometimes I just want to
All the time. All the time, Katie. Let's be honest. All the time. You're a private person. I get it. And that was.
I just need to, be with myself and my thoughts and just get all deep.
We met in Australia, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Why do you say it like
Australia?
That?
Australia, because Australia was the most chaotic, at least for me, chaotic trip for that convention.
Why was it so chaotic for you? Because I really love going to Australia and Supernova.
I mean, I remember I got sick.
Oh, yeah.
And I was supposed to be training, and I brought my best friend with me.
Drew,
he's the best. He came, he trained. I was under all this pressure because I was supposed to turn into this superhero, and I was, I don't know, all over the place.
You were training for Supernatural or for I'm sorry, Arrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't a great experience, but you liked the con, you liked the people, you just...
Oh my gosh, I love meeting people and I love traveling, but in terms of, when I guess it's because for the last, also, and it's just not just you, the last 8 years being on Arrow and in Vancouver and go on weekends and just not really having time for myself to just be... just quiet. And that's what's interesting, at least about this year, because I haven't stopped since I was 17 years old and working and traveling and just, and I just needed
your time, you time.
Just, yeah.
Katie, this is what you just said to me. I don't know if I could have survived because I am barely, I'm starting to get together now, get myself together late in life. Okay. So I can't imagine at 17 being thrusted, coming from a family of, I know you were estranged from your father, but at the same time, he's still, David Cassidy was your father, blah, we don't have to get into it too much, but it's, let alone being a child at 17, I couldn't imagine having someone famous and a famous family. And then you just nonstop till now. When do you suddenly go, oh God, I'm effed up? Or do you just go, oh, I'm completely together? Or I don't know, because I know that I probably would not have made it if I was successful that early.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I think that I had a really different upbringing than most people know of. People make, assumptions. And I actually didn't meet my father until I was in fourth grade. And I grew up with my mother and stepfather and sisters. And I was always very different in not in any way other than I loved to paint and I loved to be alone. I loved to build things. I loved to be artistic. And that gene came from the Cassidy side of my family. And when I actually met my dad, and then we did end up having a great relationship for a period of time, I realized how much like him and that side of the family I am. And it sort of made me feel like, oh, okay, I'm not weird or different. Like I, this is like also where I belong. And that's like, cause I always thought felt different and weird cause I like to be alone sometimes. Anyways. So I actually, when I, you know, I ended up moving out when I was 17 and I decided to pursue acting and instead of going to college, I wasn't ever into subjects in school other than theater really.
Right.
So I, you know, my parents were like, okay, if you're not, we're not going to help you. You're on your own. So at 17, I literally busted my ass. I moved out. I mean, there's a period of time where I did end up going, bankrupt and having to call my mom and have her buy me groceries. And
bankrupt? You know, and how old? How old at bankrupt?
I was bankrupt,
he says.
19.
How do you go bankrupt at 19 when I have, look, when I was 19, I was bankrupt.
I just like had made enough money to have like my own tiny little apartment. And
right.
I just focused on acting and realized this was like my means of survival. And I've been on my own and it's something I'm really proud of because I've built what I have on my own, you know?
Yeah.
I come from the Cassidy family and my last name is Cassidy and I feel so connected to them and love them so much, but I didn't actually grow up with them. And I built everything I had myself. So I like, but I love working too. So I don't know. I think your question was, how does that happen? How does it, someone go from?
Yeah. I mean, at 19, most people are broke anyway. So at 19, you had some money cause you were working. You were working before that. You saved enough money. You went on your own, you get an apartment, you were getting money from acting. And then.
Yes. And I had done a little bit of modeling, like. When I was younger.
Why do you laugh? Because you're a beautiful person. I said person because I don't want you to think I'm hitting on you.
I don't know. Anyways, I was like for Mervyn's or like Kmart. And
Kmart.
I'm around my bitch. I mean, it's just like embarrassing. I don't
it's
know.
It's not embarrassing. It's part of your life. That's what you do. We do. Why am I screaming?
Anyways, yeah, I have gotten a little bit of money to get myself into an acting class and own my own apartment. And, you know. I had to hustle a bit, dude.
You know, I look at you and
I had to hustle a lot. I told you, I was literally in my car driving around Los Angeles with like a crazy person going from audition to audition to audition and changing in my car for like a line in which I was so grateful. And so, because it was putting food on my own
table.
Wow. Which I'm like, yeah.
For one line, you'd be sitting in your car going over the line. Do you remember any of the one-liners that you'd go into?
Gosh, I don't.
Hey, Jeff, talk to you later. How could I say that 100 ways?
I know. But here we are. And now I have, yeah, this year. Oh, you said how, why you think, you know, do I go, I'm so fucked up. It's like, no, I mean, look, we're all
fucked up
in our own way. And it's just sort of embracing who you are and what that is and what works for you.
I think, you know, what's weird is I always say how effed up I am. And then other people are like, you're not that effed up. And I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know what
dropping F-bombs?
Oh, I drop F-bombs. I'm just trying to be better because I have a friend, Joe, who's always F-bombing. And I'm like, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. So
no, I'm just being myself, though. I hope.
No, you could fuck. You could fuck off. Wait, okay. You could completely F-bomb.
Myself to have this conversation.
Here's the thing. My buddy John, name drop, John Heater, he's a good friend of mine, very close friend. We watch horror movies and I love his family and they're Mormons and they're not like, you know, the people think all Mormons are fundamentalists, which they're, you know, this group of that you know, have polygamists and all these things. And that's just not the case. They give Mormons a bad name, but he's a wonderful guy. He doesn't sit there and go, you should be a Mormon. He just has this and he's, you know, he does his thing. And so they don't swear. And I think it rubbed off on me a little bit because he's always going, oh, that's effed. Oh, that's completely effed. Did she just show her T's? You know, so it's kind of funnier to me to just go, oh, my God, F off, please. Anyway, so look, we're all effed up. We're all like, you know, and people will say, I bet that they say that about you. If they don't know you and you go, oh, she seems so sweet. She's so nice. I don't know why. But anybody who comes from a family of success, and I know that your father wasn't around in the beginning, and you had a little bit of a relationship, then it kind of went awry, you know, but that's got to be tough on a girl, on a little girl or a little boy, to be in fourth grade and go, do you ever go, where's dad? Where's dad? What's going on with dad? Or, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I have, it's so interesting. I have three dads is the truth. And I have a stepdad that my mother married when I was four, who raised me, and he's wonderful. And, you know, he definitely taught me. That's where my drive, he's an ER doctor, and I saw growing up, I watched him. And I think that side of my brain of like being driven and having goals and having ambition, that comes from him. The creative side, so I feel like I'm lucky because I'm sort of well-balanced, because the creative side comes from my biological father. And the other side that, you know, my other dad is my sister's dad, who he emotionally was always there for me and treated me like his own daughter when he had no reason to do that. And so I feel really fortunate.
You're a culmination.
Also, you know, holidays are a freaking nightmare for me because you're running around again. Here I am, like, going to see everybody. I was talking to my friend last night. He has a similar family situation, and he gets so stressed out on the holidays because he's trying to go to, but that's just family. And that's,
you know what though? I call it selfishness. And here's what I'm going to say. I know your family's great. You go around, but I'm going to talk about mine. The fact that, and I don't want it to happen, but like for a long time now, I have to see my mom, but I have to see my sister separately. Then I have to see my dad separately. Then I have to see my grand. It's all these people, like my brother Adam, can't see him with my mother, can't see him, got to see my sister. I've got to make all these trips and I have to fly across the country.
I've stopped doing it.
Yeah, it's like F off, get together, figure it out. Like
whatever, either all come together or again, it's like if you have that one day having Christmas Day or Christmas time to myself when I'm running around working nonstop, like, I don't want to then have my holidays spent running around work, you know, seeing everybody nonstop. So I for 2 or 3 years, just would go to Miami and like have a vacation of like,
yeah, yeah.
Deep breath before you freak out.
Well, you're a loner too. You've talked about that. You like to be alone. You get overwhelmed. Is that what it is? You get overwhelmed around? Do you get overwhelmed on sets with other people around?
Yeah, it's interesting because I get overwhelmed around people. A lot of people, I pick up people's energy. Like I don't know.
Am I overwhelming you right now? Oh, good, good, good. Just want to make sure.
No, but it's interesting because when I know somebody and I feel like safe with them, it's not an overwhelming thing. I'm like, oh, like I'm good.
Good.
But a lot like crowds and stuff. Yeah, it's tough when it's on set. I've learned to block when we're like, you know, rolling. I'm able to block out the noise and the people, like, I don't know, but I definitely try to like isolate and go. I don't mean isolate. Like I'll try to go in sets that we're not using that no one's in and just sort of like,
where's Katie?
Breathe.
Does anyone see Katie? She's on the office set. She wants it to be alone. She's gathering her thoughts. Do you think people perceive you as standoffish at times? I'm not, I'm saying because you are so like inside yourself. Wait, what?
Yes. And I think that 100%. And I don't know. I grew up in a lot of chaos, you know, for whatever, you know, without getting into it too much, but it was just at times chaotic. And I definitely think my spirit is more, yeah, quiet, creative. Like I love writing. Again, love drawing. Sorry, now I'm losing my train of thought. What was your question?
Well, you know, do people perceive you as, can they perceive you, or do you think they could perceive you as someone who is standoffish or whatever, when you're really not, you're just kind of like in your own head?
Yeah. Thank you. So in high school and in middle school, actually in middle school, I was bullied by girls and in high school that were older than me. And I didn't understand why. Well, also another thing that I guess they call it resting bitch face. I don't know. But I guess I remember this girl came up to me and like got in my face in a bathroom and was like, you were looking at us and giving us dirty looks or something. And I was like, what? And I couldn't quite figure it. And then I realized I wasn't doing anything other than the sun, the direction that they were in. Literally, I think that was sixth grade through 11th grade. I was bullied by these girls because also I was really quiet and I had like my little group of friends, but I was, yeah, I think people perceived it as my being.
Can we?
I wasn't being bitchy. I just quiet. Sometimes daydreaming.
Are you squinting at me, looking like a bitch face at me? No, the sun, it hurts my eyes. It's directly on me. Here, you switch positions. Look at your face. Oh God, you're bitchy looking. Yeah. So you said that, you know, things were so crazy when you were young. When you were young, what's one thing you could tell me that to give me some insight as to the craziness that happened in your life, like something you can remember, I could tell you stories. I go, oh, I remember when this happened with my dad, and my mom was upstairs talking to this one dude on the phone that she wasn't talking to.
Right. Yeah. So there was this time when I was in high school. Well, there was a few times. Mm. Okay. So there was this one time in high school, I had this boyfriend who I was a freshman. He was a junior and his ex-girlfriend was a sophomore. And as a junior, he would leave campus. This was my first boyfriend, my high school sweetheart. He would go off campus for lunch. So these fucking girls were friends. These sophomore girls were friends with junior girls and they hated me because I was dating a junior guy and I was a freshman. Oh my gosh, the drama. They waited till I went into the bathroom by myself, away from my friends. And three of them came in and pushed me against one of the stalls. God. And I obviously was completely caught off guard. And they were like, you told, I'm not going to say names, excuse me. You told, insert name here.
You told Angie Kramer.
I wasn't allowed to come to my birthday party. And I literally, that was my reaction. I was like, wait, what? Are you guys,
is this happening?
Is this happening? As a freshman, I'm like, this is a real thing. Oh my God.
And then she slapped you?
And none of my friends really I don't remember the exact conversation. My friends really didn't know. And they were just totally being, I don't remember what back and forth went on.
But well, they didn't hit you, did they?
No, they didn't hit me. But one of my friends eventually came in and was like, leave her alone, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember and then I cried. I've tried to stand up for myself, damn it.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
This decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You know, but maybe it gave you all that confidence and drive to become a competitive cheerleader. I know you're going to kill me. You're like, I'm not talking about cheerleading. Here's the only reason. We don't have to talk about it. I know now it's the resting bitch face. Is the sun in your eyes, Katie? I believe it is. No, Listen real quick.
I'm losing internet connection.
Oh, really? Really? I'm just gonna say this. I watched that.
Weird. Can't.
Don't you?
Dan, no.
We're losing. Oh, look at your cat. Look at that little cat.
Carlos was like, oh my gosh, she got so stressed out. I knew it. You won't impact kitten. Come here.
Carlos was like, please don't talk about the cheerleading.
I don't think I know.
Please don't talk about the cheerleading. Katie really hates it. Look how cute. You guys have to see this cat. Look how cute that little kitty is. But I watched that show Cheer, the documentary, and I was blown away, and I thought competitive cheer. That's hard, and you're thrown up. Were you like one of those that was thrown up in the air and did flips and shit?
Fired? Yeah.
Did you ever fall and break a hand?
I definitely fell. Basket tosses, like, you know, we did those. Competitive cheerleading is actually really, I watched some of Cheer, and it's really insane.
Is it competitive?
Meaning, like, what you go through and what you put your body through. And yeah, these, you know, basket tosses and doing back tucks in the air and then landing in a cradle, trusting your base are going to be there to catch you. And actually one of my sisters, my older sister, we did it together, and I was a flyer and she was always a base. And it was actually really cute and nice that was something. She was my base.
That you shared. It was like you had to trust her.
Oh, always. It's all coming back to me now that we're talking about this. I have to share another one.
Go ahead.
Okay, so same situation, but I'm in middle school. Boyfriend. I was a 7th grader. He was a 9th grader.
Perv.
Girlfriend was an 8th grader. But these were girls like you don't F with.
Gotcha.
So I also was like a little scared almost to date this guy because he was a little sketchy and, you know, he'd live and learn, whatever. So she found out they were also in 9th grade, excuse me, and they went to a different school though. They went to Agora High School. And when they found out we were dating, they started, I remember calling me, and this girl called me and was like, I swear to God, if you don't break up with insert name here,
John Candy,
I'm gonna fucking beat your ass. I swear to God, she said she was gonna kill me. And I remember getting off the phone, and that this was obviously years and years and years and years, 100 years ago.
Right.
Can't get away with that shit now. But, you know, kids are nuts. So I started freaking out, and I told my mom, I was like, genuine, I was scared. And my mom was like, oh, well, guess what? I know the principal of that school. And guess what's going to happen? I'm going to call him right now.
No.
And I'm going to tell him. And what he did, I guess, is, I mean, they got suspended. They called them out of class the next day, the two of them. There was two girls who were calling me and saying this nasty shit to me. And they brought them in the principal's office. And I guess my mom was there with two police officers. And I guess they just had a talking to.
Wow.
But they got suspended or maybe even expelled, I don't know, by their 2 weeks or 2 months. And they also had to call and apologize to me. I mean, that's what I mean. Girls are really nasty. I don't understand why people don't just support one another and lift each other up, because we're all beings.
Let me tell you something, Katie, that story could have went really south, because in today's world or any world, you hear that story where like you're like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. My mom's taking care of it. And now the guys are like, you know what? Now that's a movie. Then they're plotting.
I have to say this as much as I wanted to, you know, fight my mom when I was a teenager. She did. That was dope.
Sherry?
Right?
Was it Sherry?
Sherry.
Sherry. Yeah.
That was cool, right?
I mean, it was cool, but I almost wish that she knew an investigator who just goes, hey, you're never going to talk to her again. or I'm taking your family down. And then you never know about it. And these girls are just really nice to you. Like, hey, Katie, how are you? Oh my God, you don't have a resting bitch face. It's just looks like beautiful suns.
But I didn't know that that happened.
Hey, let's get into your career a little bit, because you've had a great career. I mean, so far, and you're young, so you have a huge career ahead of you. And I know you're very work oriented and you're an artist and you do so many different things. And I always feel like in a way we're alike in a sense that you don't stop. You don't give yourself time to just decompress. And you, whereas also terrible English, but like, I think you also get into things because you're a passionate person. Like, you'll get into a relationship and it'll be hot and heavy and fun and whatever. And then whatever. Whereas I'm very timid, not timid, but very, I keep my everything back. Like, whoa, I've seen dysfunction in my life and I'm not going to jump into anything. So I think that's where we differ maybe a little bit. But do you think that, can you be present in a particular show and think this is where I need to be? Or are you always thinking I'm better than this? I need to do a show that's better. I need to be in a movie that's better. Or can you be like, I'm going to be, yeah. Explain your work ethic.
I am very much living in the moment. So in fact, so much that I can't plan ahead, that unless it's work related, in my personal social life, especially social life, I don't like to have a schedule like what I'm going to do on a Tuesday at 3 p.m. I'm not sure. I'm going to figure out how I feel when I wake up on a Tuesday and let's talk then. And I get it. If you have a schedule, that's cool. But I, as much as I can, I try and live in the moment. And I think that's where people should, like they say, the past costs, living in the past causes depression, living in the future causes anxiety, and living in the present is a gift.
You know, my therapist, I've said it before, he goes, stand up. Or he stood up. I didn't stand up. He goes, you got your left foot in the past, you got your right foot in the future. And he just pretended he was holding his dick. And he goes, and you're pissing on the present. That's what we're doing here, Michael. He's not my therapist anymore, but I like the analogy.
Right.
You know, but I will say that, well, first off, what is your favorite job you've had, whether it's small, but whatever, the most fun you had where you felt like you were at your best?
I mean, Arrow was wonderful. But again, like they gave a lot for my character to do. And I definitely throw myself into whatever it is that I'm working on, whether it be acting, you know, I go for it. And I just dive into it, whether it be acting, writing, directing, you know. And it's interesting because I'm learning a lot more about myself, especially having this year of just like wusa, calmness and stillness. Writing is something I've always had this like incredible passion and drive. And just like, that's what since I was a kid, I used to journal until my mother read my journal.
That's why I don't write journals. Okay.
We work through these things. I stopped writing. However, during this pandemic, I've been writing so much, and I'm like, in being in this, like in flow is a thing. And it's just, that's what I mean. Like you're in this, you're so present stories. That's just,
you're in control. That's why you like it. You're in control of every, like when you're writing something, it's your thoughts, your heart, everything goes into that. I think you like that.
It's your voice, but also it's not just your voice. It's for, you're telling a story, hopefully telling a story to people to better the world and sharing story through your vision, through the way you see it. Whatever the story is that you're telling.
I love that. Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah. Finding your voice, like, you know, learning how to figuring that out. Like it's a whole process and it's really cool. So I found out, you know, directing is another thing I have such an incredible passion for, and getting, you know, I directed an episode of Arrow this last season, and I was on cloud nine. I mean, I made my days and some, and I was like, oh, got to do this. Got to do it. Like I just knew. I was so prepared though. And I'm so grateful for the Warner Brothers Directors Program, because I went through it it was a 3-month really intense program, but I was completely overly prepared, and it was just an amazing experience. And I realized I'm not just an actor. I'm not just a writer. I'm not just a director. I think I'm just a creator and storyteller, however that outlet is.
I think doing is more like, you took a class for 3 months, which is great. But you know, when I remember doing a pilot, I remember shooting an episode of Smallville, directing. And what I learned in that 10 days was an absolute crash course in everything. And then shooting like a short, like doing like, but like when you said that, like that Warner Brothers director's program, I'm interested. Do they still do that?
Oh my gosh. And can I tell you, you should absolutely take it. It was life changing. It literally, you meet the most incredible people. It's only, I think, 12 people in a class. I'll give you.
Is it expensive?
I don't think so.
To you, maybe.
Oh, please.
Stop. Hey, name this actor. This next part is very difficult. They're going to take you. I want you to get under.
Liam Neeson.
You were in that movie. Did you work? You worked with him.
Yeah, he was lovely.
I always wanted to work with him. Oscar Schindler. I could have, with this one, I could have saved one more Jew. With this watch, I could have saved. I cry every time I think about it.
He's a class act.
Oh,
he's,
man.
He's just nice. When my father passed away, I got, my agent received a handwritten note from Liam, and it had been, I don't remember, 10 years since I had shot Taken.
Yeah.
And he wrote on his own stationery this handwritten note that just was, you know, my condolences, I'm so sorry, you know. It was just so classy, and he was just, and when we were shooting, he was so professional, and it was just, it was a great experience.
That's awesome. Yeah. When your heroes or when people that you really admire actually come through in such a humane way that you're like, wow, this is what I always wanted these people who I, you know, I liked to be. And when you see that, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it was so great.
You know, and that had to be hard for you. I mean, I know, obviously, but, you know, because I read the quote, I'm sure you've heard it, but it's like, you know, your dad was quoted as, and this wasn't that long ago, right? I mean, 2017, he said, I never had a relationship with Katie. I wasn't her father biologically. You know, biologically I was, but I didn't raise her. He said he was proud of you and you were so talented. Was it hard to hear that or were?
No, I mean, look, that was the truth. I chose not, and this is the truth. My father, you know, he had demons, as we all do. And, you know, I think that fame and as child fame, I mean, I've been in therapy my whole life. Thank you.
Good for you.
Dr. Shirley. I think it can really mess you up. And I think I chose at some point, you know, later, once I was 24, I think, maybe 25. It just wasn't healthy for me because, you know, he was struggling with, you know, alcohol and it just, I chose at some point that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't healthy. And when he was in the hospital and I had heard that he was in the, I'm now going off track.
No, you're not. You're not going off track. You're just talking ultimately about, you know, like when he said these nice things about you. And then, of course, it, you know, it was hard to deal with, you know, the loss of him. But you had heard, I guess you're saying you heard that he was in the hospital.
Yeah. So he had said these things to me, but it didn't hurt me that he said that. I mean, it was true. But at one point we were really close friends when I was younger. You know, he was more like my best friend. I remember I would talk to him every night for hours. And that was years ago. But anyway, so when he went, I when he was in the hospital, I went and my uncle was there and he was in a coma already. But it was such a beautiful moment. My uncles were there. My brother was there. And we all were surrounding him, you know, together. And he passed.
I just got emotional. See, now you're making me emotional. just like I could just, you know, sense that, like, ultimately just being with your family and everybody that loved, you know, that was part of your blood was all there. And it was somewhat relief. It was a relief in a way.
It's hard to describe it because I was so estranged from them, not my brother and not my uncles, but him, for about 7 years. And I think it was like almost like a forgiveness is what it was. It was like for all of us. Cause I think he had difficulties with my uncles, and I certainly think, you know, with my brother at times, I think it was just this moment of, I don't know, like, yeah, I guess like a relief, like he could be in peace, you know? Because I think being a child star really was hard for him.
You know, I remember going to see my favorite musical of all time, which I think I told you is Blood Brothers on Broadway with, I think, Sean, David, and Patrick. And Patrick was on, I believe he was on Smallville as well. I worked with Patrick, and he was so delightful and so amazing to work with. And I remember seeing that musical. And if you took a camera in front on a dolly and you panned, or you just, the dolly went from left to right and started with my father would have been like this, just like, you know, stone faced. Then my brother just kind of picking his nose, not giving a crap, being it. Then passed him, then go to my mom, hysterically crying. And then to me, crying hysterically. So that tells you a lot. My brother was a lot like my dad. My dad, Eric, was my dad's favorite. My mom, I was just sort of an emotional mess. I was kind of like a mix between them. And I remember seeing that show, and I saw it twice, I loved it so much. And I just was like, I wanted to become more of an actor. I wanted to become a better actor. And I remember just loving your family in that. They were so dynamite. Did you ever see it?
I didn't, but isn't that such an incredible feeling when you're watching? I remember Anne Heche in Proof. I saw her in New York when she was in Proof, and her performance, I was so moved and inspired by her. And that, you're right, like, I remember being like, I need to go into all the acting classes so I can act. I don't know how, this is what I need to do. I'm supposed to be doing this. I have to go now. Right now.
Yeah.
It's just like a cool feeling when you're inspired by that. So cool. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's such a...
Well, it's true. It's true. I still have, I'll send it to you. I think I have a playbill. I don't know if they signed it or not, but I have the playbill in there. In fact, my grandfather kept every playbill from every play from back to the 30s. He's got everything you can imagine. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum, and he's got them all. And when he passed last November, which was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through, my grandmother said, "Take them." I go, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Take the playbills. What am I going to do with them? We know you're the only actor in the family. Take the playbills." So I have the playbills. He was marvelous. This is from my patrons who are wonderful, who support the show. And if you guys want to join patrons, patreon.com/insideofyou. But these are questions from them that, you know, you could ask or not. This is rapid fire. Shit talking with Katie Cassidy.
Really fast?
Well, you could go fast or you can go slow or you can go pass.
Okay.
Rosie Broder, when you first read the script for Taken, what did you think of it?
I want to go to Paris.
Good call.
I thought it was awesome. And I literally was like, I was actually originally supposed to, I auditioned to play his daughter. It was between myself and Maggie Grace. I got the best friend role and I was still like, okay, great. Liam Neeson's in this movie and it's freaking awesome. And I want to go to Paris.
Tiffany Ireland. Love her. Been a fan since she was Ruby on Supernatural. Wasn't a question, Tiffany, but thank you. She thanks you. Am I correct, Katie?
Thank you.
Say that again.
You're welcome.
Yep. Oh, thank you would be the answer, not you're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Well, you said thank you. I'm confused.
Oh, yeah, I am too. Steph Alexander, is Green Arrow and the Canaries moving forward? I hadn't heard about it anymore.
I'm not sure.
Nico, what's the most amazing adventure you ever have been on? It's not Australia. She was sick.
Oh my gosh. I went to Thailand. That was incredible. I went to Africa. That was, oh my gosh, the Africa story. It's too long of a story, but basically I was in Africa, Help Malawi. It's a nonprofit organization out of Malawi in this small little town, Ntumba. I totally just botched how to say that.
It's fine.
Help educate, you know, help is help. Help, educate, love, and protect is what it stands for. But it's for children in Africa who don't have, you know, the supplies or education or resources to eat, drink, you know, the school. There's like 1,000 children, you know, basically we raise money to build them a health clinic. And I went there and built a garden for them. And I showed them how they could recycle water while they're washing their hands over the plants. And we showed them how to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and danced with them. I mean, it was just such an incredible experience to go there and see these kids.
You have to go back. I could tell how much it meant to you. You have to go back.
I need to go back.
You do. I could see that's important to you.
You don't understand. And these kids they've never seen a camera before. And you just realize like how they don't, they've never seen. I remember I had my camera and I could play back the photo for them, and they had never seen a photo of themselves.
I think it's probably a good thing that there aren't a lot of cameras around them. It's probably mentally healthier.
No, like these poor kids, and 95% of them are HIV positive. Ugh. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll go with you.
Yeah, we should totally go.
Let's talk about it.
Anyway, so where we stayed was also insane. I stayed at this lodge that was, you had to take a boat. By the way, we'll talk about how long it takes to get to Malawi. Mm. And you're doing all means of transportation. So you're taking a boat, you're taking a jeep, you're taking a plane, you're taking a train.
My back already hurts.
So we're in giant tents, and there's only like 7 of them on this giant property where the sanctuary is next door, and there are alligators outside of my front door because it's on a swamp. And so all night long you hear, and I'm in a tent. And granted, it was a nice tent. There's no air conditioning. It's like 104, high ceilings. I have a guy who's staying outside the tent all overnight with a rifle. There isn't toilet. Otherwise, at the kids' school, there's a hole on the floor. I feel so bad for them. An elephant one night escaped the sanctuary, and I woke up in the morning, and there was a giant fucking elephant footprint outside the front.
Oh.
And the guy with the rifle, who's supposed to be my bodyguard here, is like, yeah. I was about, if he had stepped a little closer, I was going to have to take, because he would have smushed my
path. Leanne Pritchett, if you could only put one thing on your bucket list, what would it be?
Oh, I'm dying to go to India and I just want to go. I mean, there's so many things, but I want to go to India and I want to help. I just want to go to India and I want to help people.
Good. Steph Alexander, just the last part of this question. How do you deal with hateful comments on like Facebook and all that stuff? How do you deal with it?
I don't. Why? I don't read my messages often. Why? Because people are assholes and I don't want to feel.
But not everybody. There's a lot of people that love you, but it may be.
Well, but unfortunately, I also don't want to get my head. People love me.
Right.
I'd like to stay here. So once in a while, I'll read. But I don't engage. I'm also like, you know what? Your negativity, it's not going to bring me down. And I'm just going to either don't deal or I just, you know.
She's doing some nice arm movements.
I don't know why
right
people
now.
Have to be. This is me just being this like, woosa.
Woosa.
I can't with the negative energy of people. It is so toxic.
I know. I know. It can be. But you know what? I just go, oh, that's a nice message. That's a person who's donating to my charity. And then I just go, oh, that person's just really hateful, blocked. Okay, next person. Here we go.
Or it's like, wow, that person's sad.
Did you like working with Stephen Amell?
Yes, I love Stephen. He actually, we have a really good,
rapport,
friendship, working relationship. And here is what, here's why I think Stephen coming out of the gates, was our conversation when we first met. Stephen, hi. Okay. If you fuck this up, I will fucking kill you.
Oh my God.
Don't fuck this up for us, all right?
You're the lead.
Don't become an asshole. Don't become an asshole. And if you are, if you're going to become an asshole, I'm going to let you know you're being an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay? And this was like right before we shot the pilot, I think. Or he might have been at Comic-Con. I don't know. But he, of course, started cracking up. And I don't know. It's like he's like kind of like a brother in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But he has respect for me. And we can laugh at each other. And I roll my eyes at him. And I've called him out. And he's called me out. So
I love Steven. Jack Slater. I got to ask Jack Slater's question because I love Slater, too. If you didn't take the role of Laurel Lance Black Canary, what other DC or Marvel role would you have loved to have brought to life?
Catwoman.
You'd be a great Catwoman. You are a Catwoman.
I know. So I'm just putting it out there into the universe. No.
Sophie Miller, who inspired you to get into acting? I have a feeling I know this.
I'm third generation. My grandfather, Jack Cassidy, he played Superman on Broadway. I think it was on Broadway. Pretty sure. He was an actor. Obviously, my dad, uncles. It's in the gene pool. I was born this way. I think just being a creator is in my blood.
Do you ever get nervous acting with certain actors, or have you ever been intimidated, or have you ever been like, oh my God, my voice is cracking, or how do you get out of that? Last question.
Yeah. I've been intimidated. No, not by another actor. Playing a lawyer and going into a courtroom full and doing and having legal jargon, and you're giving your opening statement, but you're actually bursting into a scene into the courtroom, like interrupting, and everybody in the courtroom turning their head to see who opens the doors, and you walk in with your fucking
dialogue.
You go and you stand, you're like, I'm here, I'm the lawyer representing blah, 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 and I'm making my opening statement, and it's all legal jargon, and it's like, two-page monologue.
Forget it. I wouldn't take the role.
All of the actors and the leads are there watching, sitting in the stands. Holy shit. I can tell you what scene it was.
Did you get through it? Like, was it hard to get through it? Did you, like, stumble constantly?
I had to stop, and I started hyperventilating. I started having a panic attack, and I realized, like, I told the director, I was like, look, and then you get in your head. Have you gotten, and then you're like, oh, then it's mush. So I was like, I'm trying to listen. I was like, Michael, just give me a couple of minutes. I just need to calm down and I'll be fine. I got insecure with the dialogue and now I'm getting in my head. He was like, it's fine. Just take a breath. Fine. I got through it. But I remember feeling like flush red and sweating and like.
Yep. Been there.
Oh my God. And it looks great.
I remember it was happening. Like I was really like, I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get the lines out one time. And I was getting nervous, getting in my head. And I was looking at the director. And I just turned my head and a crew guy caught eyes with me, like, made eye contact with me, which is okay. I'm not Christian Bale. I mean, so, I love the crew, but he looked at me and went like this. He gave me the like, oh, you're fucked. I was like, no, why did I have to see that? Now I had to impress him and knew the line. So, whatever. This has been a joy. I'll talk to you after. Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you today on the show. Thank you.
Say what you just said again.
I want to thank you for being on the podcast. And also, I want to say that you have no idea how many people, patrons and listeners, really get something from these real stories that you tell. Like the story about your dad or whatever. It's just relatable and it helps people. So thank you. Thank you for being open and awesome.
Thank you. Namaste.
I like her stories when she was younger.
Yeah.
You know, how she was kind of picked on. That was a relatable thing for me.
Yeah. I like that she had nice things to say about her dad at the end.
Yeah. Because it was a tough relationship.
Oh, and it was tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You know, I think we all have relationships that are tough. And when someone passes, it's never that easy. But, you know, all you could say is I did the best I could. And if you mm-hmm. can't, you say, well, I didn't do the best I could. And I'm speaking on my behalf. Mm-hmm. But maybe I didn't do everything I could, but I did everything I could at that time. At that time, that was the best I could do. Mm-hmm. You look back and you always think I could have done this, I could have done that. But in the moment, mm-hmm. it's a different story. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you, Katie Cassidy, for coming on the podcast. I finally got her on the podcast. Again, Sunspin, the new album's out. Best Days, you can get it on Amazon and iTunes. And if you want to support the band and win some sweet swag, you just go to Instagram, type in Sunspin Band on Instagram. And this contest, there's a contest. It only lasts for a couple of weeks. So make sure you check it out today. We have a post that explains everything over on Instagram at Sunspin Band. And you can also get merch and book the band at sunspin.com. But get involved in the sweet swag. You're going to love the freaking merch that you win. Trust me. I have a feeling it might be a lunchbox, one of them. Don't forget, stage it February 27th, two shows, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Zooms right after the show. Prizes. We'll play covers. We get a lot of laughs. It's a connection. It's a back and forth. You say comments, we respond to them, and we sing, and we have a great time. Stage it, go to stageit.com, type in Sunspin, or you can go to sunspin.com for all the information. Thank you for listening, as always, tuning in week after week. Those of you that do, that stick with me, that stick by my side, it goes a long way. Let me give a shout out to the wonderful patrons who do more than I ever expected anyone to do. Nancy D, by the way, I am wearing glasses. Are you thinking that? You were probably thinking that at the beginning of this podcast. But I decided to wear glasses because I didn't want to put contacts in because my eyes were tired.
You sound smarter. I'm sure they can tell.
I don't look smarter. I sound smarter. I'm sure
you can tell just by listening that you're wearing glasses.
Thank you, Ryan. Here are the patrons. Big shout out. You can look at their names here as we go, and you could be a name too on the podcast and get a shout out by joining patreon.com/insideofyou. That's patreon.com/insideofyou. And join the wonderful patron family. There's a lot of great things on there, and I hope you do. Here are the amazing patrons. Nancy D, Mary B, Leah S, Sarah V, Little Lisa, Yukiko, Jill E, Brian H, Lauren G, Nico P, Robin S, Jerry W, Robert I, Jason W, Stephen J, Kristen K, Amelia O, Allison L, Jess J, Lucas M, Raj C, Joshua D, Emily S. I also did a Zoom with the top tiers. Mm-hmm. So it was like 70 of us on a Zoom. Mm-hmm. I posted it as well. It was all of us yapping and getting to know each other more on the Patreon. CJP, Samantha M, Jennifer N, Jackie P, Stacy L, Carly H, Jen S, Janelle B, Carrie B, Tabitha 272, not to be confused with
Tabitha 273.
Ashley Ryan, Kimberly E, Mike E, Marissa N, L, Dan Supremo, that's Dan, Jack S, I just love saying it, Jack S, Slater's like funny, real funny, Ramira, Beth B, Santiago M, Sarah F, Chad W, Liam P, Roshan R, Ray A, Maya P, Maisha C, Maddie S, Kendrick F, Ashley E, Shannon D, Matt W, Belinda N, Kevin V, James R, Chris H, Anusha W,
Asbjorn,
Amy C, Dave H, Samantha S, Spider-Man,
Chase,
Sheila
G,
Ray
A,
H, close.
I wasn't done.
Oh, you weren't done? Alyssa C, Tabitha T, Amisha H, Deb A, Tom N, Suzanne B, Bradley, Henry B, Katie F, Liliana, Michelle K, Marcus W, got a few more here.
All right.
Hannah B, Michael S, Talia M, Luke H, John S, Andrew T, Christy S, Claire M, Liz J, Laura L, Chad B, Rochelle, or is it Rachel? It's Rachel. I'm going to say Rachel. It's Rachel. It's Rachel. Nathan E, Brandel, Taylor K, Neil A, Marlon, Meg K, Janelle P, Dan N, and Jennifer J. Thank you. Also, a big shout out to my charities of choice. the Ronald McDonald House of Los Angeles. If you ever want to donate, that's a great organization. Foodonfoot.org. I am a $98 club member. You could be one too. I can't wait till the servings can happen again, where we can go and help and do servings. But a great organization, and Echoes of Hope for foster youth, getting them off the streets and giving them the opportunities to be successful and happy like us. Are you happy, Ryan?
I am happy.
What is happy?
What is happy?
What is happy? Guys, it's been a pleasure. It always is. Write in at hello@insideofyoupodcast.com. hello@insideofyoupodcast.com. And I don't check them right away. And by the way, if you're buying merch and then you send a message saying, oh, can I get that in a... No. I'm sending the merch out. I don't like check these messages and go, oh, they wanted a picture signed to this person. But you know how many times I've done it too? And it's such a pain in the ass. I got to rip open bags that I've packed. Sometimes they're already sent. I feel bad. It just, you know, when it says it's just, yeah. You know what I mean?
Just deal.
Guys, I love you dearly. That's all I have to say. Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you. From Ryan, here up in the hills of California.
Hills of California. Back in Rosebud's house.
Yeah, we love you. And thanks for allowing me to be inside you once more. And give a wave to the camera, Ryan. Thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting. I just made up the end. I didn't know where it went.
What is that?
Gilligan's Island.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.